Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we stop pretending money doesn't matter and start talking about how we can actually handle it. Because the truth is, I don't know anybody that doesn't want more money, but this is the thing. They don't know how to keep it or how to grow it or how to build stuff that lasts. And some people, I'm raising my hand, y'all, learn the hard way. Okay, losing everything, starting over, figuring it out from the ground up. But God doesn't give you resources just to spend them. He calls you to steward them, to build, to grow, to create something that lasts beyond you. So if you've ever felt like you're working hard but not getting ahead, this conversation is for you. Today's guest is Paris Clough. He's a financial coach who's lived with on both sides of money, losing it and rebuilding it the right way. Paris, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. I launch everybody from the same place. Give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you, and what makes you special?
Awesome. Thank you, Brandon. Is that, did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, Brandon.
Brandon, I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to share something I'm passionate about and kind of get the message out. Financial literacy is a huge concern. Most people, if they once they get their money right, their life usually kind of falls into place. It's like a domino effect. And so I'm 25 years in the business of financial planning and financial services. I've worked with all kinds of people. I've been in homes of folks that have, very little, and I've been in homes of folks that have multi-millions, and I've been able to help and coach and share with them ideas that can take them from where they are to a better spot. I started my career in 2001, and it was kind of a fluke, actually. I was working for a company, and I just qualified for the 401k. And back then, I barely knew how to spell 401k, let alone what it was. And I knew all I knew about money was that it was green, and I wanted more of it. And so I decided to dive into some books and read and get myself educated. And a coworker turned to me and said, "Hey, Paris, I see what you're doing with your 401k, or you're reading all these books. Can you help me with mine?" And I said, "I'm not a professional, but I can share with you what I've been learning." And I shared with her what I learned. And she said, "Paris, you have a gift. You should do this for a living. I finally get what to do with my 401k." And she was older than I was, and I figured she knew already. But she's like, "Nobody teaches people about this stuff. Nobody really educates about how to really pick the right thing for your 401k. And let alone, is 401k the only thing we should be doing? No, there's lots of things. There's lots of pieces to the financial puzzle." And so I started a career doing that, and I built a career doing that for the first from 2001 to 2008. 2008, I lost everything, ended up on food stamps, and just that was a hard time in life, honestly. There was days when I was, for lack of a better way of saying it, I was on the shower floor with my thumb in my mouth, like, "Mom, please save me." That's hard days. But I pulled through. I lost everything. I could write a country music song about that era of my life, probably. That's another joke I share, and rebuilt from there. And today I have, pretty. I still have. There's. I don't think there's ever a time when you don't have money problems. But the money problems I have now are way better than the money problems I had before. And so I'm a father of five. I've got two sons-in-laws now. Two of my daughters were married a couple years ago, and so I my approach. Is it from, the number crunching, financial advisor, from New York or whatever that, I'm not saying that New York's a bad spot, but I'm just saying that, highly super overly professional. Mine's more of an approach of, look, I'm a regular guy just like you. I'm a dad just like you. I'm a husband just like you. I'm trying to do this too. Like, I've just done 25 years, hundreds of books, thousands of hours of experience across the kitchen table with other people, and thousands of hours just working with my own wife and my own family and developing my own family. I mean, I just have a lot of experience. And one of the things that makes me special is I think that is that I approach it from, I am a Christian. I approach it from that aspect. I'm a prepper, so I approach things from an aspect of preparedness as well. So I have, a different perspective, and I was on a podcast a couple days ago, and the guy says, "Paris, one of the things I really think I like about you is that you're kind. A lot of these other financial guys online, the YouTube channels, whatever, they just seem to be
Aggressive.
so mean and angry with the calling everybody an idiot." He says, "You're kind. You want to help people." I said, "I know. One of my mantras is no shame, no blame, just results. Let's get it done." And so that's kind of, I feel like, among probably other things, that's probably a good, little what makes me special.
No, I think that's awesome. And I mean, that's a lot right now. So let me try to package a couple questions in here. First of all, the no blame, no shame, because I imagine, you hit rock bottom, losing everything. I do know what that feels like, actually. There is blame and there is shame. that you kind of put yourself through it. So do you think that's kind of what shifted your perspective to know, like, you want to help people because you know exactly how they feel? I think that's super relatable. What's the biggest lesson the season taught you? And then what was the first step you took to rebuild?
That's a great question. Thank you. I feel like that what it taught me was that I wasn't as, I was a financial advisor, licensed professional, teaching people to manage their money more effectively. The old joke is the there's years ago, it's like I was the cobbler and his kids had no shoes. A cobbler is somebody who made shoes.
Yes.
And so it's like the cobbler with their kids with no shoes. I was this professional, but I was like, and I had more money than most of my peers at the time in terms of savings and other things. But when the crash came in 2008 and I started losing everything, I was able to float for about 6 months. And what I realized was I had an attitude before that of everything's just going to keep going the way it's always going. And I feel like as a lot of times, especially as Americans, we just have this idea that everything's going to work out. And while that might be true, we still have to go through these periods where there's super low valleys potentially. And so what I decided to do coming out of that was like, I had this attitude of everything's going to keep going. My income's going to keep going great. So I can buy money. I can buy all these things on payments and I'll be okay. I can borrow and I can, because I'm going to be okay. My income is going to keep going. And then when my income stopped and I was the reality of, man, I don't have the reserves that I thought I did. And months and months keep going and the bills keep coming and the money keeps draining. And I'm like, I can't catch up. And so from that point, I realized, you know what? I'm going to build differently. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be more strict with my spending so that I know where it's all going. I just really track that very carefully now. And one of the other things I did is like, I'm going to be much more conservative. I feel like money really should be boring. Like you don't want your money to be exciting on this roller coaster. You want your money to be boring. You want to be able to count on it. You want to be able to open up the bank account and say, okay, it's still there. So I just feel like rebuilding back, I was like, I just need to be more centered on and intentional with my money rather than, oh, I can buy anything I want because I always have this income. Well, no, I don't always, you may not always have that income. So you need to be more, I feel like more conservative and it's not fun. It's not sexy to, have, index funds or savings accounts. And those, we want the sexy stuff. Like, what's the Bitcoin? I want to go into the moon. We want all these things. And it's not, I want to buy the fast car and the bigger rims and the better stereo and, or the big vacation. And it's like, okay, you can buy all those things, but let's make sure we're planning properly and we're pr preparing beforehand because, as they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
I love this so much. And you guys, I told Paris I get excited because I'm excited to learn from the conversation. I already know because I've been through not the greatest with money, but that perspective that you're saying, it just reminds me of like my current life, right? Like losing weight, working out, actually doing the right thing. Very boring, very unsexy. I eat the same shit every single day. Like on my plate, everything is the same. And my days are incredibly boring. You know, outside of getting to meet people, but like outside of it's just boring. And I'm like, man, that perspective of I want my money to be boring too. I think that's huge because we're in that season of like, no, we're not getting another car payment. My car is, I have a beautiful SUV. I love it. I've loved it forever. I eventually, let's upgrade to a new one. But right now I'm like, man, car payment though. Like she runs, she's great, she's safe, she's getting us from point A to point B. What is the point of the new car other than some kind of public flex, right? Why can't the new flex be like, hey, I don't have a car payment right now? So I'm in that season of being smart because no, I emancipated as a ward of the state at 15. No one taught me about money, honey. Like I didn't even know IRA was a thing until last year, okay? And I'm 46 years old, so there's a lot I did not know, and now it's just a lot of course correction, right? Because we had the big money, we got brand new motorcycles, we got all the fancy stuff, like we did all the cool things, and now I'm like, yeah, wow, what, you know, let's reverse, let's back up, let's make money boring. Oh, I love that perspective.
I
So,
mean, you have it's fun to have stuff, don't get me wrong, but I feel like when you buy a bunch of stuff, now you've enslaved yourself to the
exactly.
payment of that stuff. And so now you're on the hamster wheel, the treadmill. And I love the analogy of fitness. I actually competed years ago in fitness challenges. So I work out, and one of my I was actually going to call my company Fiscal Fitness because,
Nice.
or fiscal, because fiscal is the a financially related
Yep.
word. And we eat wrong, we get fat, we spend incorrectly because we're trying to buy stuff to impress people that don't care about us. And like, what's what? And then at the end of the day, we're like, why did I buy that? I would rather have the money than the thing at this point. And so that's where I'm like, look, here's what I think, honestly, is there's PhD level marketing experts that are working diligently, that understand human behavior, that trying to get you to sep to give you their money, or give them your money, sorry. And so these guys are masters of human behavior and human psychology, and you're just sitting there on the couch, pushing the button or swiping through your phone. Oh, I'm gonna buy this. Or you walk through the grocery store, you don't realize that they put the color of the box on the right level of eye level so that you buy it more readily. I mean, these guys are professionally trained to get you to separate your money, and we need to have a defense against that. Stop buying now and paying later, and let's start saving now. Like I 15 for the last 50, I lost everything in 2008. I kind of rebuilt. I paid off all my debts. Tens of thousands of dollars were paid off in like 2 or 3 years, and then I started to rebuild. And when I rebuilt, I have not paid interest on a credit card. I think I paid one time actually, where I made a mistake and I sent it off late. But I have not intentionally paid interest on a credit card in 15 years.
That's
And
amazing.
what I do now is, and my wife is, bless her soul, she says, Per, sometimes it's hard to save up first and then buy with money we have in savings. I'm like, yeah. But if everybody turned the corner on that, if we saved first and bought money from savings, like if the money was already there for the thing you wanted to buy, you'd never have guilt of, the buyer's remorse. You'd never have the shame of, oh man, I shouldn't have bought that, because you would have saved that money first, and you would have the time to think about, do you really want it? Like, if I want something now and I got to save up for it, I got 2 or 3 months, maybe 4 months, to really think, do I really want this? And once the money's saved up, now I'm like, okay, I got the money, I can buy it if I want, but you know what?
Most of the
Something
time you
better came
don't.
out, and you don't need it. And you realize I didn't really need that, but I have the money still saved, which is now it's ready for the next thing that you really do need or want. And so that's kind of my philosophy is like, let's not put it swipe the card. No, yeah. Well, I do swipe the card because I love the points and the cash back. So but have the money already ready to go, and then pay for it after you have the money already ready.
I'm so proud of us because we're in that season, right? We took all the credit cards, we got them put on one set thing with our credit union, and we're doing grown-up things now. And
Awesome.
it's very unsexy, you guys, because my husband wants a fancy car, he wants, it's the things. But I think people just don't understand the correlation of, like you said, we're being manipulated every single day to be massive consumers. And that manipulation is telling you that you're not enough without this, and you're not going to feel anything until you buy this. And so, like, all the money we're spending is to feel something someone else wants us to feel that's never really going to come. And, my flagship show, Listen, Bitch, I do a whole rebellion on this where, just trying to take people back to the basics, like, biblically, we were warned about this. We were warned about everything that was coming, about the consumerism, about, finding stuff outside of yourself. We keep just searching. And I think so much of our money problems are really connected with our inner relationship with ourselves, too. If you feel like you're enough, you don't have to keep buying something to feel something. And I mean, I think that's incredibly powerful. But yes, make money boring again. I feel like that's going to be my new mantra for a minute. Make money boring. Make money
Well,
boring.
I appreciate you said that because I believe I like the idea of make America great again, but I think we should make Americans great again. And I don't know if there's a recent poll, a recent study, or pardon me, a recent news article came out on Yahoo that said the Department of the Treasury, so the United States' Department of the Treasury, just declared our country as insolvent, which means they don't have enough money to pay their bills and they don't have enough assets to pay their liabilities. And so it's like, why are so that's in my opinion the building block of a nation. So to make America great again, we need to have great To have a great nation, we need to have great states. To have great states, we need to have great communities and cities. To have great communities and cities, we need to have great families. And in order to have great families, we need to have great individuals. We need to have people that understand that we don't need all this stuff to be happy. I'm a not only am I a disciple of Christianity, but I'm also really studying Stoicism, which I have a belief that those there's a lot of overlap. And Stoicism, I think Seneca said that wealth is not having more things; it's wanting less. It's controlling our desires, and I just love that philosophy because it's like, hey, when is, by the way, the question to your audience is, when is enough? And what is enough? Do you really need 45 pairs of shoes, or do you really need 35, different things? I was talking years ago, I had a guy that I sat with, and he had just had a new baby, and I was talking to him about, getting some life insurance, getting some savings accounts, really making sure he's budgeting properly for his family and growing his family. And he's like, no, bro, I'm saving up money because I want to put 22s on my truck, and I got this new stereo that I want to get. And I'm like, so your kid is, and your wife are, like, my brain was like,
Frozen.
his responsibilities weren't, he wasn't really taking responsibility as a man and as a husband and as a father. And there's a, I've, and that's not an isolated case, but so I'm just like, we need to make Americans great again by teaching them correct principles and then making sure that they have the accountability to govern that. And that's true for money, and it's true for health. Like, we're so obese as a nation, as like as a people. Like, no wonder we're so it's like no wonder we're under the thumb of the world elite, right? We're fat, we're dumb, we're subdued, and we're broke.
Oh, that's everything. See, I had you on the wrong show. No, I'm doing a whole rebellion season about that, about how, everybody just got so divided with red or blue. And I at the end of the day, I'm like, you guys, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, never. Even when presidents that I voted for became president, I'm like, did it really change who I was as a mother? Did it change how I show up with my kids? Did it change how I show up and interact with people on a human level? It did not. It's never going to affect you like that. And I think just everything with our food, social media owns people, and it's still that curated stuff. They put so much money, like you said, into the color of packaging. Well, they do the same thing with social media on these posts and all these things that they want you to buy. And that's it. We're fat and we're happy and we're useful idiots. Like, everybody's online just keeping everybody else fired up, and like, we're feeding the machine. We've created a monster. We've allowed them to create the
Another
monster, and that's the rebellion, right? Like, take massive responsibility for yourself and your family. How can we unplug from all the systems?
Another part of that too is, and I get it. I don't get me wrong. I'm a Christian, and I believe I would love to go on your other show too at some if you're interested. But the point is that everybody's saying, well, this world elite is running our country and our world, and they say, well, follow the money, because the reason why the world elites and the world economic forums and these huge massive billionaires are able to do all the things they're doing is because they became wealthy. They got rich, and they're using their money for nefarious purposes. See, in my opinion, money doesn't make you, it reveals you, and then it magnifies you. So if you have a little bit of money and you're a jerk, you can only do little jerk things. If you have a lot of money and you're a jerk, you can do bigger jerk things. That's why it magnifies you. So my opinion is, like, if you're frustrated with all these people with all this money doing all these horrible things, then my opinion is go get moneyed up for yourself and use the money to do good things. We need to magnify good in the world. And so if money doesn't reveal you, if money reveals you and then magnifies you, and you're a good person, go get a ton of money and magnify that good stuff in the world. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do, is if we had more people that had zero credit card debt and thousands of dollars in savings, if we had more people that had seven, five, six, seven, $800 a month of positive cash flow because they're not spending it on dumb things, what can you do with that money? If we had 1,000 people with $1,000 every month pouring into some good cause, wow. You see where the change, that's how you make, in my opinion, it's grassroots, and we got to do it. And that's, I feel like I have a really huge job. Another thing too, Brandon, is that I've been in this business for 25 years. And so that's a quarter of a century. When I first started in this business, This, I heard a statistic that said 95% of Americans retire with very little money and they can't make it last. They have to have other jobs or it's just Social Security and they're barely
Depending on the
making it. And I
government.
have, yeah, I have tons of stories, by the way, that we could get into, but we don't have the
Yeah.
time for. 25 years later, with all the YouTube channels, with all the education, with all the AI, with all the ChatGPTs, with all the budgeting software, with all the, all the different cool ways to, apps to manage our money, it's still 95% of people that retire broke. We have a country that's broke. The CEO of BlackRock, which we could get into about what that is all about, but the CEO, regardless of other things that we could talk about, he came out on Yahoo as well saying that they did a poll of thousands of Americans and say, what do you really need to retire? And it was like they came up with a $2 million amount, which is actually probably pretty accurate, but it's very individual. I can share with people exactly what they need when we meet with them, but if it's not so much a balance in your bank account or your 401k, it's not so much a retirement account, a balance issue, or maybe we got to get better investments, we got to get better rates of return. All that's still true. It's a funding issue. Like if you're buying dumb things with your money every month, you can't put it into your savings account and then you can't put it into your investment account. Like the best way to become wealthy over time is to turn your income into wealth. Don't turn your income into stuff. So my mantra is turn your income into wealth and build a massive bank account. And then once you have that, life is way better. At least that's my experience.
Well, I mean, again, it's biblical, and that's what changed it for me for the past year. This is my 3rd year of reading the Bible every day, and Jesus is the model, right? He's the
Awesome.
model. And I'm like,
Amen.
steward my health, steward my nervous system. Like, all of this is my job. I can't sit here, 60 pounds overweight and expect people to take me serious, right? So little things, seeds were planted where I God helped me with this, and money came
Awesome.
up. And that's the thing. Like, we can't be mad at a system and mad about being broke when we have this money story, when we're literally called to live in abundance. And you're exactly right. Money is going to expose people. So I can't get mad at the system. It is my duty to be wealthy. It is my stewardship to be wealthy, because then the things I believe in, guess what I could do more of? Right? I could sit here and cry because it was tax day yesterday, and I could be like, man, I can't believe we're funding a bunch of fraud. I can't believe I'm paying for babies to be murdered. I can't believe my money's going to that stuff. Well, guess what I could do if I was wealthy enough, right? A lot of difference in the world. So I can't really call out the systems when I'm not doing my part. I think we're called to be wealthy. It is part of that stewardship. It's part of breaking from the system. And that means you have to be smart with the money. And that means unattaching yourself from the stuff. I love that. Build wealth with your income, not stuff. 'Cause stuff,
Yeah,
what are we
at the end
doing
of
with
the
that?
day, I mean, it's okay to have things and have needs and wants. It's fine. I just don't do it at the expense of your peace. Don't do it at the
Exactly.
expense of your resources, because now if you're stuck in a system, and there's a difference, in my opinion, there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Rich is loud and proud, and wealthy is quiet and you just never know they're there. One of my favorite books is The Millionaire Next Door, because you never know, the guy next door to you could be a multimillionaire and you wouldn't even know it because he just lives quiet. And that quiet wealth is powerful. It speaks loudly, actually, interestingly enough. And that's the kind of wealth I want to build. I want to build something that's going to be like, okay, I don't need to prove myself to the world because I have already proven myself to the Lord, first of all. And then, he's got me. He gives me the thumbs up and says, you're good. What do I need approval from I don't need approval horizontally. I need approval vertically, and so
I
that's
love
where
that.
I think about it. I just know that they're out there getting a false sense of what having money really is and being wealthy really is, because they see on social media, it's the yachts, it's the girls with bikinis, it's the faster car, it's the bigger, all that. And it's really, there is there that's rich. Wealthy is, hey, there's a lot more people that are wealthy that are just quiet and that you'd never know. And that's the kind of wealth, that's what I want to build. And I think there's more people recognize that. Another thing too is a lot of people are like, look, Paris, I may need help, but I don't know who to go to, because there's a bajillion gurus out there telling me, for $9.99 you're going to be, or $19.99, whatever, you can buy all this happiness and all this knowledge. And I get it, and it's frustrating and it's overwhelming. And so I just want people to realize, look, I'm a dad just like you. I'm a father just like you. I'm a disciple just like you. If you're Christian, and if you're not, we can still work, and I'm fine. I don't have to bring that into it. But if you are, like, I just hired a client, or a client hired me, and they're like, "Hey, Paris," they were talking about, the word and some other things, and I said, "You can tell the language, like, when you got a believer on the phone, right? And I was like, "Hey, you guys seem like you're believers. What's up?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Would you mind if I throw some Bible verses in every once in a while in our coaching and share with you some biblical principles about building wealth?" And they're like, "Oh, please do." And so I'm like, "Sweet." So there's just, you're right. You're absolutely right. We've been called to do this, and we've been called to be wise stewards. I think one of the greatest lessons in the Bible for sure is about usury and being in debt. And it's like, there's some things like a house and maybe education and some, a car for a little while, be okay. But when we're in consumer debt, we are not living the way we should be living. And there's way, I think there was not too long ago, they came out with a statistic that said Americans are like $2 trillion total consumer debt. I'm like, what are we doing?
What are we
And
doing?
so that's where I'm at. I hope that people will turn the corner and live from abundance and stop trying to consume to show off to everybody. And there's a lot of people like, "Well, I'm not buying things to show off to people." I'm like, "Well, if you deep, let's do a little bit of a question Q&A on your psychology and your habits and your behaviors, and you'll start to realize, oh, maybe I am actually,
And it's, do we blame them? Because they've been media manipulated for so long. And I think that's why these conversations are so important. And I love that you're here today to share this, to have this conversation, to help people wake up. Because those people that look rich on the outside, I've met so many of them, and the emptiness on the inside, it radiates. It radiates. Like, they are just living this false life, and it's empty, and they're going to chase trying to fill that forever, and they're going to take your money because they're going to say, hey, you could feel the same as me, and eventually you will, and that's not going to be good. I think, like you said, like, the quiet speaks volumes. It's money is so related to the core of, like, how we feel about ourselves and what we're after. We want to impress the world, you guys. We're going to keep buying the stuff and buying the things, and we're going to keep trying to make the purchase for the feeling. But, like, if you guys could just realize it's just you, it's inside of you, like, everything you've ever needed. We're equipped, man. We're equipped with everything we've ever needed since day one. And it's just a matter of, like, getting back to that. Getting on the money conversation, we could talk about this stuff forever. I love this. What was one of the biggest mindset shift changes that you had financially coming out of, that loss?
So I do, I one of the biggest things was I wasn't tracking my money like I thought I was. One time I had a goal, and I wanted to get an upgrade to my wedding ring, and I found the one I wanted, and I was super excited to get it. I had the dollar amount, and as a self-employed person being in sales, I know how much money, I know how many sales I need to make in order to pay my bills. And then so I added to my goal that money so that I could get that upgraded wedding ring that month. And I was like, okay, I just need to make a few more calls, make a few more, closes, and I'll make a little bit more, I'll make enough money to pay all my bills plus have that extra. And I made my goal, created my plan, hit the goal. And so I was like, all right, sweet, I'm doing my bills. And I'm going through my bills, and I'm realizing, wait a minute, I paid all my bills and there's no money left to buy this wedding ring upgrade that I wanted. And I was like, what happened? So I looked through, I asked my wife, I said, did any unexpected costs come up? And then she's like, no, I just bought a few things here and there, $10 or $20, whatever. And I'm like, I did the same. And I went back and I really got clear on where those $10 and $20 went. And Brandon, you would not believe how much the tens and twenties added up to.
They do.
It was like $900 of tens and twenties. Just, oh, it's not that, you don't even think about it. You're at Starbucks, you buy something real quick. Oh, I'm hungry, let me go to the fast food place. Oh yeah, go ahead, double size it or whatever the things are now. I don't go to fast food places, so I don't know what Big E size or whatever it is now. Anyways, the point is that added up to $900, and the wedding ring upgrade that I wanted was 600. And I'm like, I actually went backwards.
Go backwards. Oh.
I made more money, but I still went backwards. So it's was that was a huge realization. I was like, if I, as a financial professional, am not tracking my money to the point where I have a $900, deficit this month, what in the world is happening out there with everybody else? And I was like, okay, this is going to be my new message. We got to track money. We got to be
Yeah.
accountable to where it's going, and we got to track it more efficiently. And let's figure out what's coming in, what's going out. And then we do the next phase is creating a balance sheet. But man, if you don't know where your money's going, you're
Yeah.
gonna you're, if you here's a here's something I learned. If you're not intentional with your money, you're gonna give it to someone who is. And
And
so
that's
I have a
true.
free gift if you want to. I mean, I have a free gift, Brandon, if you want to offer it to your audience,
Yeah,
I
for
can.
sure.
So it's an ebook that I wrote that describes this process of helping you track your money more efficiently, really digging into where your money habits and spending habits have been. You can't change a habit if you don't know what it is.
Right.
So this ebook goes into my story a little bit, that I share that story about the wedding ring. And then I go into some things that I actually do when I have a brand new client to take them through this process. I mean, I literally shared the ebook with a friend of mine. He sent me a YouTube video or video back, a testimony. He's like, Paris, I freed up like $400 to $600 a month just from the stuff in this ebook. And I'm like, so what
Wow.
are you going to do with that money? He's like, I can get out of debt faster now. I'm not stressed out because I have this extra. I found money that was leaking through my bank account that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And it was hundreds of dollars a month. And so that's a free gift. If you go to parisclough.com/free gift, if parisclough.com/free gift, that is how you can find it and get and
Perfect.
download that. So.
Yeah, I love that. We are coming up on our time here, so I want to say, what are you going to say? Someone's listening right now and they're literally living paycheck to paycheck. What is your first piece of advice outside of the ebook? Because they're going to get that, right? You guys are downloading that. Good job.
Right.
But what would you say to them right now? Just what do you think they need to hear at that rock bottom moment?
Well, I would say if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're stressed out and you're fighting with your spouse and your heart disease, your heart rate is up because your stress and cortisol level is up because you're dealing with money, you've got to change what you're doing. And if you don't know what to change, then it's time to find someone like me that can help you and see. When we go to the doctor and they tell us something, we're like, I want a second opinion.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that with our money? And
Right.
so, as a financial coach, there's a difference between a financial coach and a financial advisor. A financial coach, like me, is someone who will come in and help you with those habits, behaviors, and beliefs, help you with your cash flow, help you with your balance sheet. A financial advisor might be able to do those things too, but they're really going to kind of say, and I was a financial advisor for 15 years, so I kind of know the mentality. And there's some good ones out there, don't get me wrong. But a lot of it was, hey, I'm going to help you just enough so that you can buy my mutual fund or my stock or whatever I'm selling. And
Exactly.
so, if you don't like where you are, it's time to make the change and take a deep breath. There's no shame, there's no blame. Should you have done better? Yes. But the best time to start was 20 years ago. Now the next best time is today. So
Yes.
just take a deep breath and say, "You know what? Be humble. I need help because I'm not getting the results I want, and let's have a conversation. And I'd love to be the one that you hire. I'd love to be the one that you work with. If it's not me, find somebody that you resonate with, find somebody that you feel good about, find somebody that's living they're teaching. I live what I teach. And so find somebody like that and then engage them and have them help you as long as you need. A couple months, a year, I don't know, but do the change, do the thing that needs to be changed so that you can have the results that you're looking for.
I love that. Paris, this is the part of the show where I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand money, it's exactly what you just said. You are living it. You've lived the loss and the rebuild, and you didn't just learn it from a book. Like you bring the experience. You bring the humanity into the work that you're doing, and I think that separates you from a lot of people that are in your area, in your arena specifically. But just helping people to avoid the mistakes and helping them build something that lasts, I think that's incredible. I think you are definitely stewarding a God-given mission, and I think that's the key. That's the wisdom. That's the leadership. That's what I think makes you special. To everyone listening, money matters, not for status, not for ego, but for that freedom, for that stability, and for the stewardship, for everything you're supposed to be building with that. God did not create you to struggle for yet forever. He called you to steward what you have and to multiply it. Okay. So be disciplined, be intentional, and please remember your mess is your message. Okay. Make sure you guys get that free resource today. I have the links in the show notes. Get down there, get linked up with Paris. If you guys are ready to stop sitting with what you know you just need to message me, okay? Because your story matters, the one you have today. Don't need it ready. I don't need it polished. Let's go. If you're ready for the hot seat, please come tell me why you're special. Paris, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your time today. Great conversation. This was fabulous.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.